Long time ago, the prophet Isaiah summarized the hope of the Bible, anticipating that someday a child would be born, and upon him would be light for those in the darkness. There would be joy for those who are in mourning. There would be freedom for those that are in bondage, and there would be a kingdom without end of justice and righteousness. And we can summarize all of this saying that there would be peace, there would be shalom. For unto us a child has been born, for unto us a son has been given. His authority shall grow, and there shall be endless peace. Now tonight, as we light the Christ candle, and we remember the coming of Emmanuel, of God with us, we are compelled to ask a simple question. What if? What if this child born in a manger many years ago has changed everything? What if our longing for peace, for a new world, is not in vain, but rather is as real as expectant parents receiving a child, as a father embracing his wayward son? We all yearn for a world without war and without bloodshed. Now, especially now, in light of the tragedy in Connecticut, we yearn for a world where children are not in danger from semi-automatic weapons. We yearn for a world in which the fighting in Syria or the recent genocide in Darfur, the ongoing skirmishes in Afghanistan, the conflict in Gaza, we hope and long for a world without military intervention, a world where tanks no longer roll over homesteads, where we no longer have to tolerate an acceptable amount of collateral damage or civilian casualties. Peace, in light of a world like this, usually amounts to simply this. Let's take our instruments of violence and go home. And so at Christmas time, we sing songs about silent nights and about peace on earth. But I wonder, what is it that we mean when we say peace on earth? Do we sing only of the end of war? Have our minds become so complicit in our world that we can no longer imagine peace, only the end of violence? For unto us a child is born. You see, children are born every day into a world that lurches from crisis to crisis. They are a sign to us of a future. They are a picture of new possibility. For children are helpless and innocent. They know the face and the voice of their parents almost immediately. They do not know what to do except to trust. And as they grow, to explore. Children love with abandon. But they inevitably grow out of this. For as our children grow, they learn to be less trusting, and they learn to be more careful. They learn to protect themselves and their hearts by withholding love, by excluding others, by engaging in violence of their own. They become like us, and we call this loss of innocence maturity. Inevitably, the hope that we have for our children becomes mired in the same angst as us, their parents. The peace and the possibility of new life gets swallowed up by our crude world. But what if? What if a child was born whose entire life was a sign to us of a future? What if a child was born who did not only trust and love with abandon and the innocence of his first years, but who grew into maturity without learning the art of withholding love or of excluding others for self-promotion? What if there was a child born to us who grew up and did not learn the way of war or the ways of violence? What if there was a child born to us who grew up and never learned to hoard his possessions, but who shared freely with any who had need, who looked out for the least of his brothers and sisters and took them in? What if there was a child born to us who never learned to hate his enemies, but rather learned to throw them dinner parties? And who responded to insults with love and compassion, to violence with the offer of forgiveness. Would this child not upset the whole order of our world? Would this child not point to a wholly new way of picturing all of creation, such that we could never again speak of the survival of the fittest, or of taking an eye for an eye, or of asserting my will through the end of a sword? Would not the kindness, compassion, and grace of this child simply shatter all that we have been led to believe? Such a child born to us is a sign of the new world, a sign of a future that is trustworthy and good, and that will come to pass. The Bible tells us in many places that this new world brought by this child, brought by the Christ child, is characterized by peace, or shalom. See, shalom is an all-encompassing word that means the good life, it means wholeness, it means justice, reconciliation, and rest from all that ails us. It is the life that we imagine and long for and yet never quite reach. It is the life of a new world. It is the life that this child grows up to demonstrate in the midst of our competitive, destructive, and fallen world. And this child, the Christ child, who grows into the man Jesus, he shows us that our pitiful and pitiable visions of peace ask for far too little. When we say peace on earth, we really just want an end to war and violence. We are asking for a Tylenol when we really should be asking for the antidote. You see, the Tylenol is not peace. Peace is not only the absence of war or of conflict or of violence. Peace is not just safety from all that might harm us. Rather, peace is about presence, about life, about trust, about love, about rest. Peace is something material, not just the absence of bad stuff. Peace is as real as a child in a manger, as the embrace of a father for a wayward son. Peace is a new order made possible by this child who grows up to be king of a wholly unexpected kingdom. For unto us a child is born, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and we will call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. As this child grows up to be the man Jesus, he begins to tell stories as a way of inviting us into this new order of shalom, of peace. In one instance, he tells us a story about a wayward son who acts hatefully and brings shame on his father and on his family. This prodigal son takes his father's inheritance and spends it on disgraceful things. He has ruined himself, and he has broken his father's heart. But the son runs out of money, and he hits rock bottom. In desperation, he decides to come back. He's coming back to his father to beg for his job, just for a job. Any of us listening know the right thing to do. Any of us listening know that what the father should do is protect his own honor and require the son to beg, to drop to his knees. Only after his son has paid for his crime could reconciliation be possible. But the kingdom of shalom is surprising, and it's different than what we might expect. In the story that Jesus tells, the father sees the son coming and goes running out the door to throw his arms around his son before his son can even get a word out of his mouth. By running, the father brings shame on himself. By throwing his arms around the son, the father takes upon himself the humiliation of the son so that the son might again be welcomed back into his family. This is a picture of what God is like. This child born to us is the very presence of God. This child born to us is like the father running toward the wayward son. In this child, God humbles himself so that we might again be restored into God's family. In this child, in Jesus, God gives us his own wealth, his own reputation, his own life, so that we might live again, so that we might again be whole. And this is why our longings for peace are almost always too modest. We want the absence of bad stuff. God wants to give us his very life. On the night that the Christ child was born, angels appeared in the night sky to announce his birth to the shepherds. After telling the birth, they began singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all humanity upon whom his favor rests." This child is both the sign of peace and our confident hope that such peace is possible and real. This child is born to us as an unwavering sign that God's favor rests upon us. This child, Jesus, grows up and remains with us even today because God so loves the world. And so we wait now for Jesus to come again and to fulfill the work of peace that he has begun and pointed toward. For we know that shalom is not our doing, but it is the creative gift of God. And so tonight, we rest in the loving arms of our God, for we know Emmanuel, God with us. And we anticipate the fulfillment of God's intentions for us and for our world, when all things will be made new, when he will wipe every tear, when there will be no more war, when we will live in such communion with God that there will be no more need for the Son. For unto us a child is born, and the kingdom of shalom will rest upon his shoulders. For his authority shall grow continuously, and there shall be endless peace. Amen.